Thank you, Jay. Our scripture reading today is going to be in Psalm 119. We want to begin at verse 65 and read through verse 80. Psalm 119, verse 65 through verse 80. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they deal perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. I trust this will be a blessing to your heart. We will be looking at some of these verses in the moments to come. Let's remain standing for prayer. Thank you, Father, again, that we can come to you now at this stage in our service. Our song time is through. We have had our hearts thinking on those things of you as we have raised our voices in song and testimony. And now I pray that as we quiet ourselves, as we sit, as we look into your word, as we listen, that your Holy Spirit will have our hearts, our attention. I pray that we would be able to put from our minds those things that perhaps have been going on this week, perhaps things that we've been doing, plans that we have, maybe even later on today, tomorrow, the coming days, if you tarry. All of this is to say, help us to rid ourselves of anything that would distract us from the Holy Spirit being able to minister to our hearts in the time that yet remains. May you get all the glory. May you be able to accomplish with each of us your purposes, your will, your way. We thank you that we continue to have this freedom in our country. Only you know how long this freedom will last, Lord. We thank you for what we have. And we thank you for this place. We thank you for these whose hearts you touch to be here this day. We wait on you, we look to you with thankful hearts. In your name, amen. And you may be seated. In conjunction with our upcoming election on a week from this Tuesday, by the way, let me say, If you haven't heard it enough already, let me suggest that please exercise your right, exercise your responsibility to vote. Don't let somebody else make the choices. You exercise your right. We have this freedom in our nation, and we ought to, each one, make sure that we are taking advantage of that. Only the Lord knows what the outcome is going to be. I personally feel as though our country is really at a crossroads on this particular election. And because of that, we're going to just really be setting aside Tuesday, the 3rd of November, as a day of prayer for our nation and especially for our election. We are going to try to come up with a list where we are going to encourage you to sign up for 30-minute periods during the day, evening, that you would commit to. I'm not saying that you have to drop what you're doing and be on your knees during that 30 minutes praying, but during that 30-minute time period that you would sign up for, you will take some time to pray for our nation and this election and the outcome of it. We hope to have that sheet perhaps available at the latest by as early as perhaps Wednesday evening, where you can sign up. We hope for various different 30-minute time slots during the day. Lord willing, we'll have it here next Sunday morning and evening, and hopefully we're going to get enough interest that our church family will want to fill that up very, very important election ahead of us. So much at stake. So much at stake. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Here's a question for you or two. What do you think about affliction, trials? I'm guessing that for most of us, affliction and trials are not on our top 10 list of favorite things. I guess I've never really met anyone who willingly volunteered for affliction. Sign me up for affliction. I'm volunteering for trials. Why don't we ever have people volunteer for that? Because affliction and trials are not pleasant. But I have heard of many, even some here, even yours truly, who have welcomed the outcome of the affliction that has come their way. I'd like you to think for a moment. Let me read. You have your Bibles open to Psalm 119, and we're going to start right back at about verse 67. But just listen as I read a couple of familiar verses from Isaiah In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, our Lord said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." With that as a jumping off point, I want us today to approach the subject of affliction, recognizing that God's ways and his thoughts are much higher than ours. And let's trust him and ask his Spirit to instruct us as we take a look at something no one ever wants, but it happens to all of us from time to time in different ways, and it comes in different forms. And hopefully we can benefit greatly from it. I think probably if we would be truthful, most of us fight affliction because every one of us likes good health. Who doesn't like good health? Every one of us likes trouble-free living. Every one of us prefers ease to difficulty, right? Am I speaking some truth here? But are we missing something when all we have is ease and trouble-free living and good health and never any trials and difficulties? How can we come to see that God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours? What could be better than good health? What could be better than not having any problems in life? What could be better than having peaceful conditions in our world and in our lives and in our family? Well, let's look and see the discovery the psalmist made and notice that he comes to the point where he talks about affliction, and he says affliction actually can be a good thing. How can he say that? Look at verse 67, first of all. We see in verse 67, he said here, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." The thing that he points out here is we ask ourselves, how can affliction be a good thing? As we look at this verse, affliction can correct us when we are not in the place we ought to be with our lives. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I wasn't doing what I ought to be doing. I was not living my life in a manner that was pleasing to you. I was not walking in obedience in your ways." But he said, "Before I was afflicted, I began to go astray." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of you sitting there have ever
gone astray from the Lord with your life. I think probably we'd have quite a show if I would have asked for the hands. Going astray, sadly, due to our old inherent sin nature, often comes pretty easily for us, doesn't it? It'd be nice if, when we accepted the Lord as our own personal Savior, we would just all make the declaration, I'm done with sin, I've had it with going my own way and doing my own thing. It's true, any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Wouldn't it be something if that was instantaneous in our living, practical day by day? Is that verse not true? John's been teaching us, you know, you look at Scripture. Is it true or isn't it? Is it? It's true. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in God's eyes, positionally in Christ. The Father looks at you and He looks at me and He sees the righteousness fully of His Son in you and in me. But we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, aren't we? It doesn't. Practically, working it out in practical living, that's a lifetime after we accept the Lord as our own personal Savior. And here and there along the way, we stub our toes, we fall flat on our face, and many, many times we, in a sense, say, God, I don't care what you say. I really don't want to be bothered by you right now. I know this isn't what you want for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, no one would ever tell God that, would they? That's the way we live our lives many times, isn't it? And because we do that, God sometimes afflicts us. He causes hardship. He will send trials. He will begin to make our lives miserable because we have gone astray. And the first thing that we see here in verse 67, the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I had gone astray. He was fine, thank you. I'm doing just fine with my life. But I'm not living according to God's will and God's ways. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't want to go over there where you want me to. I don't want to live my life like that, Lord. I'll just do my own thing here. And so one day the psalmist realized, and he recorded it for us, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So this thing that we see here, one of the good things about affliction is it can correct us when we are not where we ought to be. Before you think, Pastor is, boy, he's really against us this morning. Do you know our tendency, we're not the first ones. It's not just people living in the 21st century. Yeah, anybody ever hear of a man by the name of Jonah? There you go. And one day, God told Jonah arise, I want you to go to where?
Nineveh,
that wicked city, and I want you to deliver the message that I am going to give you, because I'm going to destroy that city for their sin. And Jonah said, what? No, thank you, God. No, thank you. You might think that's a good thing for me to go over there to Nineveh, but you know what? I have a better idea. You might declare that your ways are higher than my ways, but I'll tell you what, not when it comes to this. And so, no thanks. Rather than going to Nineveh up this way, I'm going to go and get on a ship that's going to Joppa, which happens to be going that way. And things will be just fine. Well, we all know the story. One of our favorite short stories of four chapters in the Bible, isn't it? Jonah paid the fare, got on the ship. I can imagine in my mind, he probably found him a nice, dark, quiet corner somewhere, pulled his bundle around him, got himself all settled, thinking that, how many of you like to go to sleep when you have something on your mind? Why do we like to go to sleep? Because if we fall asleep, what? Huh? We have a little freedom, we have a little peace, at least as long as we're asleep. I won't have to think about it. I won't have this on my mind. Oh, if I could just fall asleep. I think that was Jonah. You talk about conscience. Can you imagine a conscience screaming in this guy? He knew he was going exactly against what God wanted him to do, but that's okay. I can handle that. I'll just crawl down here and get myself in a quiet corner and it'll be okay. God will get over it. God will get over it. Beloved, God doesn't get over your sin and mine. Sometimes we treat him like that's, he'll get over it. This isn't that big of a deal. God's will isn't that important for my life. He'll get over it. No, he won't. God has a plan and God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And though Jonah tried to disregard the call of God upon his life, we know the story, don't we? And ultimately, God sent affliction for what purpose? To correct Jonah and bring him to the place where he ought to be. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And we see the affliction corrected his life. Maybe you can think about, and here again, we don't ask for vocalization and participation in our morning service time, but maybe as you do a little rehearsing mentally, you can think of a time or two when, you know, that same thing happened to me. I was dead set on going astray, but God sent some affliction, and thank the Lord He sent it, because it stopped me in my tracks and it got me back in fellowship with Him. When He says, "But now have I kept your word. But now have I kept your word." You see, the first thing we pointed out is that affliction can correct us when we're not where we ought to be, but in that same verse B, affliction can convince us to obey the word of God. Down in the belly of that whale, God did a marvelous thing with Jonah's heart and his will. You know what He did? He convinced him, "I'd be smart if I would just do God's will." And out of the depths of the belly of that whale, you find the record that Jonah had a change of heart, and he was willing to tell the Lord, okay, you'll just get me out of this. I'm ready to do. Jonah, you fool. You wouldn't have ended up a pile of puke on the beach if you would have just done what the Lord wanted you to do. I look at us and I think, how come we're so bullheaded and crazy-minded to think that we don't need to do what God wants us to do? But we make those choices from time to time, don't we? And sometimes God has to resort to the only way to get. It wasn't that Jonah was a dummy and he didn't know what God wanted for him. Jonah knew exactly what God wanted. And he said, "I don't have to listen to you, God. I have got a better plan, and this is what I will do." And God said, "No, it isn't. This is what you will do. And I have a method to get you to come to that point." And sometimes we force God's hand by going astray, and He brings us affliction so that He will get us on the right track, and He will convince us. He uses that to bring us to the point of obeying God's word. There was a king of Israel by the name of Manasseh. Actually, a king of Judah, the southern kingdom. He had a reputation for being the absolute worst of the southern kings, Manasseh. More sin than any other. That'd be a nice reputation, wouldn't it? The worst of the southern kings. But in 2 Chronicles 33, 9 through 12, if you want to just listen. 2 Chronicles 33, 9 through 12. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, sin, and do worse than the heathen. That's pretty bad, isn't it? To make God's people do worse than the unsaved people, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Don't bother us, God. We don't want to hear what you've got to say.
Wherefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh in chains among thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, that's our topic this morning, he besought the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. This very thing, affliction, can convince a person to obey God's word. That's what it worked. It worked for David in our text, verse 67 of Psalm 119, and it worked for Jonah, and it worked for Manasseh. Isn't it tragic that sometimes that's the only way God can get our attention, is to knock us on the head with some kind of affliction before we just say, yes, Lord. But notice, as we go back to Psalm 119, our text, our eyes drop down a little bit further, and I invite you to look at that 71st verse, and we see a second thing about affliction. Here it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Affliction has a way of teaching us the truth of the Word of God. It is good for me that I was afflicted. Wow. How long has it been since you said that about the affliction God brings your way? I was good that the Lord did that. That's the change with David as he first of all admitted, before I was afflicted, I was living my own way. I was doing my own thing. But God used the affliction to turn me around to obey him. And now, a few verses later, he says, it was a good thing because the truth, it has taught me the truth of God's word. There are many things we know in our heads, but we don't demonstrate them in our hearts. Notice the testimony. It is good for me. Good for me that I have been afflicted. I'm sure this was not his first impression of the affliction when it came his way. But we see the day came when he realized that, wait a minute, affliction is teaching me the truth about God's word. We find that affliction taught him to personally understand and realize the truth that was there in God's word. Go back with me, if you would, to this psalm, through this 119th psalm. Notice verse 71, he said, it was good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Let's back up to verse 12. In verse 12, he had said this phrase, what? Teach me your statutes. Look at verse 26. Teach me thy statutes.
Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Verse 64, teach me your statutes. Verse 68, teach me your statutes. That had been a prayer of his heart. He had been asking God time and time again, as he records in these verses. That was something he wanted to learn. He wanted to learn the truth of God's statutes, God's word. And we find here that in verse 71, the day came when he realized that through the affliction that God has brought to me, he's answered my prayer. I am seeing what his statutes mean. I am learning what a faithful God he is. I am learning I can trust him. I am learning that he does not needlessly cause grief or send difficulty. And here, the very thing that perhaps at first I was wishing would go away, he has opened my eyes to see that. Looky here. He has answered my prayer. And it was affliction that he brought that taught me the very thing I had been wanting to learn. Once again, isn't it sad that so many times we are so stubborn-headed and strong-willed that we force God's hands, and the only way we're going to learn the truth of his word is for God to send us some hardships, some difficulties. Perhaps he has to touch our health. Perhaps he has to touch our financial security. Perhaps he has to touch our well-being in our community, in our neighborhood, before we begin to learn, wow, this is good. This is good. This is good. And that's exactly what David was saying. Affliction, do we see him complaining about it here in that 71st verse? Oh no. But instead we see him saying, praise the Lord. It was good that he afflicted me because I have learned how trust and believe his word. I've heard many of you give testimonies. I have shared with you how that affliction, health issues, you name it, has helped me to see the truth of the Word of God in a way that I always believed with my head. But it wasn't until God gave me the opportunity to experience it through affliction, I began to realize that's what that means. That's how that works. And some of you are saying, amen, amen. Hard times show us the truth about God, and we can believe Him, we can trust Him, and we can see Him as faithful to His oath. When we realize that, affliction's not that bad of a deal, is it? Not that bad after all. So we've seen in verse 67, affliction, well, it can be a good thing because it can correct us when we're not where we ought to be. It can convince us to obey the Word of God, and it can teach us that we what it really means, what that truth that we've always seen and quoted with our mouths, but what it means in our own lives to personally apply the truth of it through affliction. Thirdly, we see here in verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Affliction, this 75th verse, can teach us of God's faithfulness. I know your judgments are right. I know the decisions you make. They're right. They're good. That's what Isaiah was saying in Isaiah 55, wasn't it? My ways are what in comparison? My ways are higher than yours. Your ways are not my ways, the prophet said as he was speaking to the people. God's ways are much different than our ways. We would suggest things ought to be done A, B, C. That's how it ought to be done. But so many times God says, it's not good for me to do A, B, C. You need instead X, Y, Z. That's what's good for you. So, he said here in verse 75, I know your judgments, I know the decisions, the way you have determined to work, that is, they're right, and that in all honesty, you were afflicting me in as a means of your faithfulness to me, because you care so much for me, because you were concerned so much about me. Though we're often tempted to first to question God's faithfulness to us when affliction comes. Again, don't raise your hand. But I would dare say, probably with most of us, we have uttered, when something has happened, why, God, did you, why are you letting, why is this happening? But what the psalmist points out is, I have learned through the affliction that you are a faithful God. And it was only through the affliction that that truth was confirmed. I think of the Apostle Paul, and I think we can all relate, as he recorded in 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12 is where he talks about that thorn in the flesh that came. Because of all the abundance of revelations that he had had, God had willed that there be this thorn in the flesh. Nobody can say for sure what it was. There's different theories, different ideas. But it was some form of affliction and trial. And Paul himself recorded, for this thing, verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12, I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Can't you relate? Can't you put yourself right there with your, oh God, take this away from me. Three times. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So that, Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, my affliction, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen to how he concluded that all. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, the blessed truth is that Paul said, I asked the Lord to take it away, but he opened my eyes and he showed me this is a means of God's faithfulness to me. Hebrews 12, 6 and 10. Affliction, trials, hardship, a sign of God's faithfulness, whom the Lord loveth, the writer of Hebrews says, he chasteneth, he corrects, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. So that in verse 10, the writer, in making a comparison to human parents, and God is our heavenly Father, they are human parents, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That's why parents chasten children. But listen, he, not for his pleasure, God does not chasten us because it makes him feel good and it gives him a little chuckle. But the writer of Hebrews says, he, our Heavenly Father, he does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why God sends chastening. That's why God sends trials and affliction our way. It's for our benefit. God always has our best for his glory design. In Psalm 72, verse 18, the psalmist said this. He said, doubts if I get to 72, 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Keep that in mind, beloved. That's God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't blow it. He only does wondrous things. In Psalm 86, verse 10, very similar thought, it says, thou art great and doest wondrous things, for thou art God alone. In Lamentations, we find this. In verse 31 through 33 of Lamentations 3. He said, the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, though he sends affliction, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercy, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Job
a man that was upright in all his ways, yet he was afflicted. Had he done anything wrong? No. Satan inspired the affliction, but we remember that everything that God permitted Satan to do was only for God's glory, and we find that when it was all said and done, did it destroy Job? No, not at all. In Job 42, the first six verses, we read this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withhidden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I do not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. What was the result of all the affliction that came Job's way? His faith, his trust deepened in the Lord. He said, you know, I knew some things about you, but oh, what I have learned through this. What I have learned through this. It's amazing the way God can use this and accomplish this work if we will come to realize that God's ways and his thoughts are not like ours. And when affliction comes, see them as ways that God wants to grow our faith rather than crush our faith. Let's close in prayer. We're going to continue not in Psalm, but we're going to take another visit to trials and troubles in our evening service tonight. And I hope that you'll plan on being with us as we continue this topic tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the discoveries the psalmist made and shared with us that affliction taught him. Thank you for what we've learned. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that we would take to heart. I pray that we would remember. I pray that we would trust you when affliction comes our way. May we have open hearts. May we have willing hearts. May we be looking to thee rather than trying to run from thee. Show us your ways. We thank you in your name.